of Luke this morning, Luke chapter number 15. And let me say again what an honor it is for us to be here and been looking forward to this. Now, Brother Tim told me there was some additives in this water to help me preach better. He must have heard me before. That's all I can figure. Amen. But I'm thankful for that. Amen. And I'll tell you, let me just say that I appreciate your pastor. And like you said, when I was about 15, 16 years old, he let me preach when my own daddy wouldn't let me preach. And he believed in me. Amen. And I'll tell you the opportunity that he gave me, and I'm thankful and humbled this morning. And thankful for the man that God sent your way. And last night when we met to eat, because I knew Pastor Stewart and came to Jubilee here for a few years, definitely with my dad who pastors in Asheville, North Carolina. And I sat down and we'd ordered the food and I looked at Brother Shelton and I said, "All right, tell me the story. Tell me the story. I want to know how God put you here." And he began to tell the story, and the joy in his heart fell over into mine, and I'm thankful for what God's doing right here. And thankful that God is still moving and God's still working. And I'll tell you, it's an encouragement in a young preacher's life. I'm not 30 yet, so I'm still calling myself young. I turned 30 here in about a month, and I'll tell you, it's really bothering me. It's really bothering me. My joints are starting to pop, and all this, just terrible. It's just terrible. So y'all pray for us. I'm looking forward to being a seasoned preacher when I turn 30, maybe. And thankful for that. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. We'll read a very familiar verse of Scripture. And one promise I make to you is I'm not a long-winded preacher. And that is because I was raised as a pastor's son and I've been cured of it. I went through the program and graduated with honors, with long-winded preaching. So I've got that out of the way. So I won't preach long, I promise you, this morning. Look at verse number 11, very familiar again. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said unto his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's pray this morning. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you once again. Lord, we're humbled, God, to be in your presence this morning. God, you've been so good, and I thank you for the jubilee that you've given. God, thank you for the service this morning, the service you're going to give tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for just these few moments. Help us, God, to do the things that we will have wished were done at the judgment seat of Christ. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Again, this is nothing new this morning, not a new passage of Scripture. I began to pray and ask God what I was to preach. And in fact, when Brother David asked us to come, I didn't even realize that this was Jubilee Week. And when I saw that it was going to be Jubilee Week, I thought, well, if I'm going on Sunday, there's going to be absolutely nothing left to preach. And I pretty much just assume that's the way it is this morning. You've heard it all. You've been through all of it. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach what God laid on my heart. And if it helps you this morning, you say amen. If it don't, I'll let you go soon. Amen. I begin to look at this prodigal. And I begin to see him. And we have a lot of assumptions about this prodigal son.
Yes, sir.
We hear it a lot of times in youth meetings, and a lot of times as a teenager I would hear, be careful and don't be the prodigal son. He went out and he did this and he did that and he did the other thing. And those are all terrible things that the Bible says that the prodigal son did. The Bible says that he wasted his substance on riotous living.
Yes, sir.
But so many times, I believe when we look at this prodigal, we're focused on his riotous living.
Uh-huh.
But I believe with all my heart that the prodigal's biggest problem wasn't the riotous living that he ended up doing. His problem started a long time before he ever reached the far country. You see, I don't believe at all that the prodigal woke up one morning and said, you know what, I'm out of here. I don't believe that. I believe he probably woke up one morning and thought, you know what, I don't like it here very much. You know, I'm really just not satisfied with how Daddy's doing things.
Yep.
I'm tired of looking at this same old farm. I'm tired of doing the same thing day in and day out.
Yep.
I wonder what it's like in the far country.
I
believe with all my heart the prodigal's problem started way before he ever started walking down the road.
Yes, sir, preacher. Yes, sir.
And in my own heart this morning, I will confess to you one of the biggest problems I have in my Christian walk is getting dissatisfied.
That's right.
Now I'll tell you what, I am a professional complainer. I'm good at it. If there's anything I'm good at, it's being a complainer. I was talking to Kelsey one time. I was out of town, and we were talking back and forth. She said, what do you want to do about this? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to do? And I said, just make a decision. She said, well, and she told me, she said, just make a decision. I said, well, if I make a decision, you're just going to complain about it. She said, well, you're complaining about me complaining, so how does that make you any better? I do. I'm complaining about people complaining. That's how much I like to complain. And we find ourselves as children of God, we've got it better than we've ever had it. Ever in this world. God's been so good to us. God has blessed us richly. Hey, we've got more than we could ever need or want. God's given to us and He's blessed us time and time again. But yet we still find a way and a reason to complain. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I know a lot of people who claim to be godly, but they're not very content. There's a lot of people boasting the things they do, the things that they don't do, and they claim to be godly, but they are some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that God's people should be the happiest, the most joyful, the most well-content people on the face of the planet. You know why? Because no matter what happens here, we win either way. God either blesses us here or He blesses us there. There's no way to lose. But this prodigal began to get dissatisfied when he began to look into the far country. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something that's been on my heart. Hey, and let me tell you this. We live in a day where everything is so vain, and we look around and we look here and we look there and we say, why don't we have this and why don't we have that? And look what they have. Look what they're doing. And all of a sudden, we begin to get dissatisfied. First of all, being dissatisfied will give you an attitude.
Yes, sir.
This prodigal had an attitude. What did he do? The Bible says in verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me.
Yeah.
He had a give me attitude.
Yes, sir.
He felt that somebody owed him something.
Yeah.
Now this is a problem we've got not only in our country, but we've got it in our church as well. Hey, that's the problem. Look, hey, there's a lot of older people in this congregation, and I just want to tell you, I'm sorry, because my generation is ruining this country. You know why? Because we've got a bunch of give me attitude. Everybody wants something for nothing. We feel entitled. Here we are, and we've blessed you with our presence, so you ought to give us something. And it's killing our country. It's killing us. Hey, I'm thankful my dad taught me how to work, amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful. I remember when I was about 14 years old, and all of a sudden there was a logger in our church, and all of a sudden he pulled up with this great big old load of logs and dumped them over by the side of the house.
Yeah.
Dad come walking in with a brand new chainsaw, and I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, no, it's what we're about to do.
Yeah.
I said, well, what are we about to do? He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, I just bought this chainsaw. Brother Dean brought us some wood over here. He said, I'm going to saw it up. You're going to take this go devil and an 8-pounder and you're going to bust it. Your brother's going to stack it in a truck. We're going to take it to people's houses and they're going to pay me money. I said, well, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. So we began to bust, and Dad, every once in a while, out of some of that wood money, he would slip me and my brother some money. And man, I started liking that pretty good. I started liking getting paid for work. And I remember one day, my dad's a pastor. I remember we went to visit some older people in the church, Brother Tim, and we were pulling up, and as we pulled in their driveway, I looked to the left of their house. And they had the same amount of wood that we did. But sitting in the midst of that wood was this red contraption that I had never seen before in my life. And it had a sharp edge on one side of it. And it had a little motor, some hydraulic hoses. And I said, Dad, what is that? Because I noticed these perfectly little pieces of wood laying around it. I said, what is this? And he said, it's a wood splitter. I said, a wood splitter? I said, Dad, when are we getting a wood splitter? He said, I don't know when you're getting one. I've already got one. There I was. So after that, I went to work at a radio station in Asheville, North Carolina. Brother David, you know, I was sitting there and I was playing music and talking, my two favorite things in the world to do. And I was getting paid for it. All right? And this other guy walked in and he said, you know what? They're not paying us enough here. He said, I think I'm going to go tell them about it. He said, I'm going to go tell them about it. And I said, sit down, man. Look at me. I said, have you ever busted wood in your life? He said, no. I said, let me tell you something. We're sitting here playing music and getting paid to do it. You better shut your mouth. And if you walk in there, you better not mention my name. You know why? Because I'd already done the hard stuff. It was getting paid for the easy stuff. But see, that mentality is not only in our country. That mentality's crept into our churches. We walk in and I'm telling you, we want the choir to sound good, but we won't sing in it. We won't come to practice. Hey, we sit down and we're saying, well, man, I hope the preacher really preaches good, but you ain't read your Bible this week. I mean, has anybody ever had the audacity to get in the car, look at their wife and say, did he seem a little off this morning? You know why? Because about 90% of a Baptist church has never even taught a Sunday school class, much less try to preach three times a week. And we have a give me attitude. You know why? Because we've had it too good for too long. God is blessed and God is given. God has worked in our hearts and He's worked in our church. And I'll tell you what we are. We're a bunch of spoiled brats, myself included. We're spiritual spoiled children is what we are. And the more God gives to me, the more discontented I seem to get. Now, why is that? It's because of my give me attitude. We say, God, and we'd never come out and say it. We'd never come out with our mouth and say, God, give me. God, I deserve it. But our attitude is, well, Lord, here we are on Sunday morning. Just bless us like you always have. He had a give me attitude. Not only that, he had a goods attitude. He said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He said, give me the goods. We're consumed in stuff. Stuff. God has given us, and I believe that God will bless you. I believe God can bless you physically, financially. I believe God wants to give good gifts to us, is what the Bible says. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, but I'm afraid we don't own stuff anymore. Stuff owns us. We begin to get discontented. Hey, and I'll tell you, look, I love social media. I'm on every social network there is. And if they come out with a new one tomorrow, I'll probably sign up for it. I just like it. I told you I like to talk, so that's what I do. I enjoy it. But social media has brought in more discontentment than any single thing in the world. Now, I'm not preaching against it. I'm on it. But I'm telling you, you need to set limits and boundaries on yourself because you'll start looking at somebody else's life. You'll start coveting. You'll start thinking, well, why is it my life like this? But, hey, what you need to realize is, young people and older people alike, what you're seeing is a highlight reel. What you're seeing is the best things that happen in people's life. That's what gets put on social media. And some of you older people are like, what is he talking about? Just hang with me for just a minute, all right? Hey, everybody puts all the good stuff on.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if I follow you on social media and all you're doing is talking about the bad stuff, I'm erasing you anyway because I don't want to see all your bad stuff.
Yeah.
And we begin to look and we begin to get dissatisfied about what God's doing in our life. But let me tell you something, the grass is not always greener on the other side.
That's right. That's right.
You better be happy with what God's given you, where God's placed you. Let me tell you something, growing up, Brother David, some of the preachers that I loved, some of them I looked at, and I thought, man, if I could preach like that, if I could sing like that, if I just had this or if I had that, little did I know they were falling apart. You know what? You can't look through a computer screen and a phone screen and see what's going on in somebody's heart. Looking at this prodigal, you'd have never thought he was looking off into the far country. But it started with his attitude. He had a goods attitude. I remember Kelsey and I, we had rented a house for a few years and we prayed that God would give us a house, and God gave us an unbelievable home. We bought it about half the price of what it was worth, and God worked it out. We didn't think we were going to be able to buy it, and we're just in this house and we're so happy. I mean, just elated that God has answered our prayers and give us His house. And it's just a single family ranch home, nothing fancy, but man, it was fancy to us. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we just thought, man, I can't believe this. Can't believe how God's blessed us right here. And the first time I remember, I was coming home from work and Kelsey called me and she said, the toilet in here in the master bedroom's broke. And we had been in there a couple months and I told her to call the landlord. And she said, he doesn't own this house, you do. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to have to fix something, all right? So I drove home and I looked at the situation. I said, I can handle this. I got this. I can handle this. And so I went to Home Depot, and that was my first of three trips. And I went, and what should have took about 30 minutes literally took 3 days. 3 days to fix a little handle on a toilet. Look, if you need something fixed in your house, I ain't your guy, all right? It's not me, unless you're paying by the hour, I ain't coming. So here I was, and on that third trip, I'll never forget it. Never forget it, Brother Taylor. The third trip back from Home Depot, I remember crossing the hill. Now, previous to this, these 3 months, I was so excited about my house. Honestly, I never even looked at my neighbor's houses. I didn't know who lived around me. You know why? Because I was focused on mine. And I was thanking God for mine. But about the third trip back from Home Depot, as I crossed the hill, I started looking at everybody else's house. And I had not even realized, brother, that across from my house was a two-story house with rock on the front. Looked absolutely beautiful, and I thought, I've never even seen that house. That house is beautiful. And the thought went through my mind, I bet the toilets don't even break in that house. You know why? Because all of a sudden I went from being thankful for what God had given me to looking around at somebody else's. And we always assume that nothing ever goes wrong at somebody else's house. Hey, we always assume that nothing else, but we've got this attitude that our life should be perfect because we're saved and we're born again and we're trying to serve God. But I know good and well some of you were in a fight before you got here this morning. There's no doubt about it. Hey, Sunday mornings, I don't know what happens on Sunday mornings. Everything can run smooth Monday through Saturday. Sunday mornings, you wake up mad as a devil for some reason. You know what? We get this attitude just because we're doing what we think we ought to do, that God owes us something, but He doesn't. It was a give-me attitude, a goods attitude, and it was an ungodly attitude. You see, he came to his father and he said, give me what's owed me. Basically, he said, give me the portion of goods. Give me my inheritance.
Yeah.
And inheritance is something that you get once someone has either passed away or is close to death.
Yeah.
You see, it wasn't time yet
right. For
him to have his inheritance.
Yes, sir,
it wasn't his time yet. Hey, and some of us in the Christian walk, we want things right now. We just want it. Hey, God, we prayed for it. Lord, I prayed for it for 2 days. Why have you not done it yet?
Yeah.
So we want it right now, but God's timing is different from our timing. You see, he looked at his father, and he said, Father, I want my inheritance. What he was basically saying was, I would rather have the goods instead of the giver. Instead of being thankful that his father was even with him, all he wanted was the blessings.
Yeah.
We live in a day where we're so consumed in the goods that we ignore the giver. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. How about with your own children? How about with your own children? You ever bought them a toy and they looked at it and said, "Oh, thank you." They were like that and you thought, "I just spent $10 on that." But have you ever, has your child ever walked through and just picked up something tiny, just picked up a toy and said, "Mom, Dad, thank you for this. I love this. Thank you for that." You know what it makes you want to do? It's like, "Well, what else do you want? I'll go get you something else." You know why? Because that thankfulness and that gratitude does something to the Father. And I believe if you and I would just come to God in gratefulness, in gratitude, and instead of being dissatisfied with what He's done, just coming to Him and say, "God, if you never bless me again, God, you've done more than enough for me." And watch how your attitude changes. Being dissatisfied gave him an attitude. Not only that, we see his actions. They were wasteful actions. Let me say, any time that we use what God has given us on this world, it's wasteful. God has given some of you in this church talents. I believe that God has given everyone a talent. I believe that God has a job and a mission for every single person sitting on the pew this morning. Hey, whether you be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, whether you take up the offering, hey, whatever it is that God has you to do, whether it's writing notes to the sick that can't make it or visiting people in the hospital, whether it's when somebody sings and messes up, you come up and pat them on the back and go, "Look, that was some great singing. The only people that don't mess up are the people not trying." Hey, that's a gift within itself. And everybody can do something for God. Do you know there's some people who excel in their workplace? They excel in on the ball field. They excel in every different area, but yet they come to the house of God and expect just to be blessed. God gave you those gifts and those talents to be used for Him. And I'm not against you using them on the ball field. I'm not against you using talents at the workplace or in your family or wherever. But if you're not using them also at the house of God, you are wasting your talents. What God wants you to do. What does God want you to do? Hey, it's not what you've always thought you should do or what you heard a preacher say you ought to do. What is it God wants you to do? Find what that is and do it with all your heart. You say, "Oh, it doesn't make a difference." Sure it does. You say, "Oh, it doesn't make a difference if I'm here on Wednesday night." Sure it does. People notice when you're not here. When the Bible says, and I don't know why I'm preaching this, but the Bible says that forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, not forsaking that. Why is that? He says, but encouraging one another. You know why we come and gather together? One of the reasons that we do that is not only to worship the Lord and to get fed, but it's to encourage one another to come together, because it matters to the person next to you if you're here or not. His actions were wasteful. They were wicked. With riotous living, let me say, if you get dissatisfied with the Lord, you get dissatisfied with Him, there's no telling where you'll end up. We are so bad to look at people who used to sit on these pews and they walk out into the world and we come in and we say, "Can you believe? Can you believe what they're doing? Can you believe what so-and-so did? Can you believe that happened?" Let me tell you something. You don't know what you'll do if you get dissatisfied with Jesus. One of the every time somebody says it, Brother David, I just cringe. Somebody looks at another one's situation and has to go, "Well, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was them." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. You ought to be real careful right there. Because you don't know what you do till you were in that situation. Let me tell you something. From the pulpit all the way to the back of the balcony this morning, every single one of us are susceptible to the devil and his ways and his fiery darts. And if any of us get dissatisfied with Jesus, there is no telling where we could be a month from now or a year from now. Absolutely no telling. The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before a fall. Hey, let me tell you something. There, if you get dissatisfied with Jesus, there's no telling where you'll end up. That's what happened to this prodigal. Here he was, I promise you, the prodigal maybe a year before this, when he was there at his father's feet and serving his father, doing what he should have done, I promise you he wouldn't have recognized himself down there in the far country. It was wicked actions. Not only was it wasteful and wicked, but his actions left him wanting. And tell you something, sin will leave you in a place of need.
Amen.
The Bible says that this prodigal found himself down at the hog pen.
Yes, sir.
You see, he ran out of money. He ran out of that portion of goods. You know why? Because the father wasn't giving anymore. See, we just assume, hey, how many of you know that daddy's money spends a lot easier than your own money? I mean, you look at somebody, have you ever been out with somebody and whether they're shopping or going to a ball game or something, and they're just buying everything? You ever been with somebody like that? They just order anything on the menu and they're buying everything, and you look at them and you're like, whose credit card do you have? Because surely that ain't your money. And most of the time, they've got daddy's money. Or they've got mama's money. But you know what? That's what this young boy had always been doing.
That's right.
He was always living off of the father's goods. But when he tried to do it himself, you know what he did? He found himself wanting. And it's easy for us as men and ladies who work and provide for our family and who try to give our family good things, we can get exalted. We can say, I did this. I worked hard. I accomplished this. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for God and for His energy and for His strength that He gave you, you'd never be able to accomplish just one single thing. It all comes from God. No matter what blessings you have in your life, they fell down from the Heavenly Father. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every single thing God's ever given you, it came from Him. Hey, that's exactly right. Hey, you say, well, I worked hard. Well, sure you did. But who gave you the oxygen? Who gave you the effort? Who gave you the muscles to wake up this morning and go to work? It was God who did it. It was God who created you. It was God who gave you that will and desire. And let me tell you something, it'll be God that provides tomorrow. It's the Heavenly Father. This young man forgot where it was coming from. See, you believe that you can just live any way you want to and walk out of the house of God, do anything you want to do, but pretty soon the goods will run dry because the Father's not giving anymore. The Bible says this young man found himself. He woke up and he saw himself right there looking in to the trough where the pigs were eating, the hogs were eating. Now, I'll tell you what, my grandpa up in Marion, North Carolina, up in a little town called North Cove. You wouldn't be able to find it if you tried. I remember going up there, and he raised those hogs. My favorite day was hog killing day. I don't want to offend nobody. But my favorite day of the year was when we killed those hogs and got the meat. I just loved it. And I loved feeding those hogs. You know what, Brother Tim? We'd go and Grandma would fix them biscuits with homemade strawberry jam. She'd have some steak there, and she'd have, I mean, just the corn and the gravy, all the fixings around, and I would eat until I was filled, amen. Yeah. Some of you are like, that's what I'd like to do if you'd stop. Like, why is a preacher talking about food after 12 o'clock? Come on now. Do you know what I remember? I remember getting full, but then when it was done, Grandpa would take everything that everybody didn't eat, and he'd put it in a bucket, and him and I'd go walking down in the woods, and we walked down to the pasture. He'd call those pigs and he'd throw that slop in that trough. Yep. Those pigs would just start fighting each other. And I mean, it's just the nastiest thing you've ever seen in your life. You want never once did I say, Grandpa, can I jump in there and eat? Never once. You know why? Because
right.
I was already full of the good stuff.
That's
and we wonder why we've got such an appetite for the devil's hog trough of this world. I'll tell you why. Because we're not eating enough of the good stuff.
That's right.
Hey, we come in and the pastor's prayed and worked and studied all week, and he's laid out a full spread. The choir's got up and they're singing better than they've ever sung. The special music was incredible. The preacher done preached the house down. Brother Davey's laid his heart out for you. He's laid that meal out, and you've looked at it and go, I'm not really that hungry. Then we walk out into the world and fill up on the trash that's on the TV and on the internet and everywhere else. And we wonder why we're sickly, and we wonder what's wrong with us and why we've got a bad attitude and bad actions. It's because we're full of the world. Just like this young man was, staring down into the hog trough. It left him wanting. But lastly, we see his attitude and his actions. And thank God we see his acknowledgement. He acknowledged his sin. Verse number 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father's house, and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. The Bible says in the previous verse that he came to himself. That's what a lot of us need to do, is just get honest with ourselves. Look ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm the problem. You know who gives me more trouble than anybody? It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's not the co-worker down on the job. You know who gives me problems? I do. I do. I'm telling you, some days I just, it's like you want to look in the mirror and say, come on, man, get it together. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know what? It takes a lot to look in the mirror and say, I have sinned.
Yeah.
I did it.
Really?
I'm wrong. It's my attitude.
Yeah.
It's my actions. That's what this prodigal did.
Amen.
He acknowledged his sin.
That's right.
We make such excuses for ourselves and everybody else. But the Bible says this prodigal didn't get it right till he said, it's me. It's me. He came to himself. So we not only see that he acknowledged his sin, but we see he acknowledged the supply.
Yeah.
He said, wait a minute. He said, here I am staring into the hog trough, and my father's servants are eating better than this.
Yeah.
He said, I know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Again, let me say, every good thing in your life has come from God.
Amen.
You know what? He realized that he couldn't do it on his own, but God's supply has never run dry. Not even once. Let me tell you something. Daddy's got more than you do.
Yeah.
I remember right after Kelsey and I got married and everything in my house started breaking. I remember being at Mom and Dad's one day, and she was sitting in the driveway, and I was supposed to be coming on, and we were going to meet. And I was at Mom and Dad's house, and I was in the garage. And I'd never noticed it before, but all of a sudden I started looking around. There was tools hanging everywhere. And I thought, man, I could use that. Man, I could use it. Now I know what this is for. And Kelsey hollered at me out the window. She said, come on, what are you doing? And I said, I'm looking for something to take home. You know why? Because Daddy had more than I did.
Yeah.
Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your dad will call you and be like, hey, son, have you seen my, well, I don't know if I've seen that tool. I don't know. That happens. You know why? Because I realize my dad had more than I did. You may be here this morning, you're running low. You're running low whatever area in your life. You're down. Let me tell you something. The Father has an endless supply.
Amen.
Whatever it is that you're needing, whatever it is you're looking for, the Father has plenty.
Yes.
Bible says that this boy said, my father, he's got, they, even his servants have bread and to spare.
Yep.
He's got all that they could have, more than they could ever want. That's exactly what our Father has this morning.
Yes.
More than we could ever want. He had the acknowledgement of his sin. He had the acknowledgement of the supply. But last of all, and I'm done, he acknowledged that he was still a son. There he was, coming back home. You know what? No matter how far away he got, he never stopped calling him Father. And thankfully, the Father never stopped referring to him as his son. I'm thankful that no matter how bad my attitude will get, no matter how bad my actions will get, I always acknowledge, Lord, I'm still yours.
Yeah.
I'm still yours. God forbid my little boy that's here this morning, 7 years old, and God help him, he's just like me. I mean, it's scary. He's as mean as his mama, but he does a lot of things that are like me. You know what? I don't know what his future holds. But, David, all I know is I'm going to pray for him. All I know is I'm going to try to raise him the best. But I'll tell you what, and something I took note of early in my ministry was a bunch of these guys that got up and said, well, I'll tell you what my kids will do. And what? Hey, man, let me tell you something. It's the grace of God that kids do anything, all
right?
You can weep and cry and pray and raise, but it's the grace of God that does anything. Hey, let me tell you something. The choice is up to him whether to serve God or not.
Yep. That's right.
And God forbid he ever ends up in a place where he calls me up and says, Dad, I need you to come get me. Dad, I'm in trouble. Dad, I've done this. I'm in this situation. With my heart breaking, Brother Davy, there's no situation that would keep me from calling him my son. Know why? Because the very blood that runs through my veins are running through his veins. And I love that boy so much, I'd literally give my life for him. But you know what? We serve somebody who did give his life for us. And his blood has covered us. His blood has taken us. And I'm glad that there's no depth so low that we can go that he doesn't wrap his arms around us and say, "You're still my son. You're still my daughter. You're still the one I love." You may be here this morning. This may be your first time back in the house of God in a year. I don't know. I don't know the situation of anybody inside of this church. But I'd say there's a lot of people here this morning. No matter what age you are, you begin to secretly get dissatisfied with what God's doing. This morning, I believe that thankfulness would cure that attitude, would cure those actions. I remember, I'll tell you this and I'll be done. I remember something my dad did, and I've only told this a couple times in my whole ministry. I remember I was about 6 years old in a trailer living in North Carolina. And I remember I had done something wrong, and Dad said, "Go to your room, you're getting a spanking." And I dreaded it because my dad is about as tall as Brother Tim here and a whole lot bigger. About two or three of him put together, that's how big my dad is. So when Dad come to whoop, I didn't get spanked, I got whooped. Can I get an amen? I knew that I was going to have to pay for what I had just done. As a six-year-old boy, I remember sitting on the side of my bed. Dad walked in and he took his belt off. He said, "Son, do you know what you did wrong?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Do you know that there's a price has to be paid for wrongdoing?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I was preparing myself, Brother Dave. I said, "I know I'm about to get it." He said, "Son, you've done wrong." He said, "But I want to show you what Jesus did for our wrongdoing." And I'll never forget as my dad took that belt and he took it and he stuck his own leg out, Brother Davey. Stuck his own leg out and he took that belt. He started beating on his leg instead of mine. And he said, "Son, that's what Jesus did for us." Let me tell you something. More than ever getting spanked myself, it made me want to do right. You know why? Because I didn't want to see my daddy hurt. And I'll tell you something, if we'll get to the place in our life, realize that we're not operating on works and what I've done and what you've done, but it's grace. And it's God's grace. It's our Father who has given us all of our blessings. It's our Father who took all the pain. He took all the suffering. He took all the shame from us. I believe we'd fall at our Father's feet this morning. Say, "God, thank you. Thank you, Father." No matter how far you are from him this morning, don't get dissatisfied with Jesus Christ. Come acknowledge that you're still a son. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask Brother Tim to come. Get music for the invitation. See, I believe it starts in our heart. I believe all the sins, and if you go and you look at a man and you see, oh, he's doing some awful things, he didn't just start doing that. It started deep within his heart. And I know all of us this morning, that's why the Bible says that God tells us, says, Lord, for us to come to him and get him to search our heart. Because we don't know it ourselves. We deceive ourselves in our own hearts. But if you'll come to the Father and say, "Lord, is there anything in me? Lord, look into me." Some of us this morning, you need to look at that attitude. Maybe even it's reached some of you so far where you've started into some of those actions. Lord, I believe you need an acknowledgement this morning of who God is and what he's done for you. As she begins to play, Brother Tim comes to sing. I'm going to ask your pastor to come and finish the invitation. As we stand all across the building, their heads bowed and their eyes closed, there's a danger in being dissatisfied.
While she sings, it is very easy. We ain't careful. Get watching those around us, get dissatisfied, and it begin to affect our lives. Every one of us here today had to admit God's been so good to us, blessed us above measure. He's helped us when we didn't deserve to be helped. He supplied when we wasn't doing nothing right. But he done it because of his love, because we're his children. while she sings, you, ma'am, the Lord come today.